We know for many of our Wonders and Worries listeners, you are right in the middle of it all, day in and out. The nitty-gritty of juggling all the complexities of chronic illness, parenting, job life, finances. This whole pandemic living was just another ball that was thrown into the mix. Your arms were already full and you were forced to juggle this too, whether you were prepared for it or not. We are all feeling that fatigue. For many of us drawn into the field of compassionate care, it is often because in our lifetime, we have been impacted by chronic illness too. Thank you for tuning in today to our newest episode of WonderCast, a community collaborative podcast brought to you by Wonders and Worries, highlighting resources and stories for our families navigating chronic illness. At the start of the summer, I had the privilege to sit down with my friend and colleague at Wonders and Worries, Deanna Smith, as she shared her illness journey. And while this recording was a bit ago, the message of it is just as relevant to our families and listeners today. This is Deanna.
I'm Deanna Smith. I have been a child life specialist since 2001. And with Wonders and Worries for the last 4 years now, I am the program manager for San Antonio in Houston. And I have a 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. And so the little one has been at home with me and is about to start kindergarten in the fall. My husband is a high school teacher and football coach during football season because Texas football is crazy. He is super busy, and he's gone a lot. It's a lot of late nights and busy weekends, so it's very much football for the next several months.
With your role within Wonders and Worries, you are now, I'm looking at you face-to-face, and you are back in the office. Talk to me a little bit about how that's looking.
Yeah, so it's been good. I will say this past year with working from home, it's definitely had its perks, right? I only have to look good from the chest up, but it's been a challenge at the same time, especially through the summer when my girls are home and they don't understand if I'm home, why I'm not playing with them or doing things with them. And so it's a lot of the mom guilt of I'm going upstairs to, you know, to close the door because I have a meeting or because I have a session with a client, and it's the, again, leaving again, but why? And just getting upset and trying to get them set up. So that's definitely been a challenge. And there's definitely been sessions where I've got the little one screaming at me that she pooped and she needs me to wipe her, or they're fighting. And, you know, and so that's been a little nuts. And so it's been really good to be back in the office. It's been so good to work with kids and families and see their faces and be back in person. And I think it was time. I was ready, and it's just good for me, and the girls understand better if I'm gone and not in the house and trying to sneak out to the bathroom, because if they hear me go to the bathroom, they run out there and think that I'm done. So it's just the little things like that. So it's been good. I think it's been good for all of us to slowly get back in the office a little bit more. Yeah, and I'm ready for school to start back. We've had a great summer. I'm ready. Like, they need to get back. I am just praying that, you know, things are back to somewhat, quote, of a new normal, but they need that regular routine a lot. And so, you know, this summer was hard with being a stay-at-home mom / working full-time at home / trying to travel as much as we can before school starts again. It's been a little hectic. Like, this probably was the busiest summer, a little too busy, I think. Not as much downtime as we had. So I am looking forward to school and the regular structure and stability.
One of the ways that I've been trying to describe it to a lot of the parents we serve is I feel like I have not stopped juggling all the balls since the pandemic began. Like, pretty instantly, we went in from full-time working mode to kids in school full-time. So there was that healthy balance, that complete transition from we had hello routines, we had goodbye routines, and now we were immediately thrown into this new versatile role of trying to balance it all at the same time, just kind of juggling. And I feel like our boundaries have become skewed, and that it's, we're maybe taking a call and giving our attention to our work, and then you're right, you're getting pulled away to go wipe a bottom or to make a snack or to separate a fight. And that's
that's exhausting. I think I read an article a while back ago that referenced the term is called languishing. We have all just been living in this space of languishing for so long that now as we move into the school year, why there is that excitement of, oh my gosh, we are about to have some routines and some structures. And for your youngest, here she is coming to kindergarten and this is going to be so good for her. But then also we have a little bit of that trauma that still is living inside of us. Like, but what if it's not what we're hoping it's going to be? What if we go into lockdown again? What if we are all behind masks and little kids still aren't vaccinated yet? There's just so many different varying things that I find that juggling between worry and working and caretaking and planning ahead and then not knowing the plan, it can be very exhausting. How do you feel like you're managing all that stress?
I feel like I refuse to live in fear, and I want to set that example for my girls too. And of course, there's the thoughts of, you know, what is it going to be like this school year and what happens if, you know, we do have shutdowns again. But it's not going to do any good to dwell on that. It's not good for me. And then I want to set a good example for my girls. I don't want them to live in fear either. So, you know, it's just talking to them that we can do our part in staying healthy and, you know, eating right, exercise, all that healthy balance and prayer. And that's all we can do. And that's all that's in our control. So I think we're just trying to focus more on the new school year and, you know, not, you know, what is it going to be like? Maybe you don't have to wear masks or what are we excited about being with our friends again? And then, you know, with Lila starting kindergarten, then the girls being in school together. So I think just really trying to focus on that versus dwelling on the, you know, the what ifs that get us nowhere.
Exactly. Now, one of the things that you have in common with a bunch of our listeners is that, like them, you've had to balance this role as mom and as employee and as wife, and also handle some of your own medical issues over the course of this pandemic. If you're comfortable, I'd love for you to kind of share a little bit about that experience and what that's looking like for you.
Yeah, sure. So I have a heart condition that developed when I was pregnant with my 8-year-old. And about in February, so about 5 months ago, I had a pacemaker device implanted. The recovery was a lot more challenging than I anticipated, and a lot more pain and just lack of sleep. A lot of complications from it were definitely a challenge. And so the recovery was pretty difficult. And come to find out, it's because it wasn't working properly. So I'm actually going back to surgery in a couple of days and having to redo the whole thing and just praying it's a better recovery.
Gosh, I just think that's so heartbreaking, especially because when you think about you had this complicated surgery trying to help yourself when you're already juggling so many things. And then you come to find out that all of that effort and all of that recovery, it didn't even work. And so you have to go back and do it all again. And I think that so many of our listeners out there know that feeling so well, and they know how frustrating it is to go through treatment and put all that effort to know that the treatment didn't do the job that it was supposed to do, and you have to go do it again. And for you as a professional, you're now in this duality role as mom and also as child life specialist, having to prepare your children for this again. And I'm sure that carries that extra weight of stress, knowing that you have to do this again, but so do they.
That was really interesting for me to kind of be on this side, and my 8-year-old that understands a lot more, switching to that role of preparing them for what's going to happen for me, you know, for me being out. I think the difference, it was hard last time, absolutely, because I only gave myself about a week of rest. I refused help from people that offered help after that because I didn't think I would need it. And I jumped back to work too quick, and I felt terrible. And I think it just prolonged things. I just felt terrible. The girls were just wanting me to do things and, you know, we're definitely scared of the incision and of the spot, what it looked like. My youngest, it was really sad and it was hard, but my youngest did not want to hug me or be near me because she was afraid of hurting me.
And Deanna, I'm going to interject and pause right here because it's really hard. I'm going to tell you what we tell our parents, and it's the same thing. And I know you know this, but in the moment, it's just so hard to tell ourselves. But reactions like that from kids that we perceive as adults negative, like crying or hiding or covering our face with a blanket, are actually okay. It's kids processing, and it's giving them space to have that reaction. And it's the way that we give them that space to process, and the follow-up conversations and the tools that we have. That is the extra component that you're giving them to help process through those emotions. Just like adults, kids are allowed to have tearful responses and anxious responses to hard things. I really feel like it's just so important for parents to remember that you are not making your child upset. I think as parents, we are so quick to take blame and shift this into something that we are bringing into our family and carry that guilt around. But no parent that I have ever worked with at Wonders and Worries has ever asked to just have cancer or just have heart disease or to just have diabetes. You didn't ask for this. You didn't give this to your family. It is just something that has happened, and you are all learning to process this as a family in your own ways.
Definitely, which that was really hard for me to not have her with me and cuddle with like we were used to. So, and she's my cuddler. When I first told my 8-year-old that I was going to have surgery again, that helped me, I felt like, relate a lot to a lot of the families we work with. I knew she wouldn't be happy. She's extremely attached to me. Like we have over attachment. She got very upset, was very emotional, started crying. And when I was trying to explore that more with her, it was that she's scared. She doesn't like me to stay the night in the hospital. She doesn't want to be away from me. That was a new thing for me to experience with something that I experienced with our families a lot, but for me to experience that personally. And so it's been a lot of talk and preparing for what's going to happen. This is the plan. I have her calendar. I've written out on the calendar who's going to be staying with them, what nights I'm in, you know, when I'm going to be in the hospital, what days they have a fun play date planned, just the different things that are coming up to try and make it fun. You know, having that we have we have matching bracelets so that when we're missing each other, we can hold that and rep that for me to take with me to the hospital, and they have theirs to keep at home with them when they're missing me. She has a nightgown of mine that she likes to sleep with and cuddle that when she's missing me too. So it's preparing for, it's all about the preparation, right? Like we know that is what we do as professionals, but also remembering to apply that in our personal life too.
I think one of the incredible things about this organization is we get invited in to support families at some of their most vulnerable and difficult times in their life. Aside from being in a pandemic, aside from it being summer here in Texas, aside from all of the normal everyday life stressors, illness has its own container that stress can also come from. I think that it speaks volumes to our families for them to understand that not only do we understand their struggle on a clinical level of wanting to offer support and walk with them along this journey, but for you, for many of our staff, we have also been impacted by illness in some capacity, and we understand it on a deeply personal level. Our support for them and our validation for them comes from this place of complete pure honesty, because you right now get what it's like to juggle all those things and to balance all of those things.
What I've learned is this go around, it's been very devastating and frustrating that I'm having to go back and redo this again. I almost feel like it's worse this time. And I have a little more anxiety, to be honest, this time, because I know what to expect. So that's, you know, the negative of it is I know the pain. I know it's going to be hard for the girls again. And I know, I mean, that's been the hardest. This week, I'm trying to work a lot and get a lot crammed in, knowing I'm going to be out, which that's a struggle because that means more time away from my girls when the next few weeks are going to be time away from my girls again. So it's hard, and it's figuring that out and trying to get as much done this week so I can devote the weekend to the girls. Because, of course, I explained to them I'm trying to get it done so I can spend time with them, but they don't understand that, nor do they care. They just want me. And I get that. And so it's a lot of, like, maybe late night charting after they're in bed so that it's not me just in front of the computer all the time.
So with kind of all of this, knowing that you don't know exactly what the perfect recovery is going to look like because you didn't get that the first time, and while we are both praying and hoping that this goes flawlessly, which I believe it will, there is still that level of uncertainty. So how are you balancing what you know is coming ahead with your ability to help take care of yourself?
Having some time, more quiet time afterwards, so more time by myself just to watch Netflix, read a book, and know that that's okay. It's not forever, right? That doesn't mean I'm being lazy and I'm a terrible mother. And I think it's hard to accept that because nobody does it better than me, right? Like, nobody does it better than mom. And so again, it's other people can do things for the girls and it's still going to be okay and it's fine, but just to allow myself that time. And, you know, we took a family vacation together. And so I think that was a lot of, you know, this summer was doing things together, using PTO through the summer. And of course, you know, in all honesty, you don't ever feel like, I feel like a lot this summer, I wasn't ever 100% somewhere. I was all over the place. And that was hard. Like, I sometimes felt like it wasn't 100% to the job or 100% to my girls because I was all the moving pieces, right? Like, let me do a little bit of this and then a little bit of this and then a little bit. So yeah, I was stretched really thin for sure. And then in the midst, trying to prepare for surgery and being out for, you know, a couple of weeks. And so it's trying to do all the things. And I think that's women, especially moms, especially, you do try and do that. And we put ourselves on the back burner because our kids have to be taken care of first. It's hard. And I think just the biggest piece is accepting help from family and friends and divvying it up. You know, we had a meal train last time and that was really, really helpful just to have food provided. I have great friends and support that I've already set up another meal train for this go around as well. I have plans for the girls, for family that to help out for a longer time period. I think the hard thing, the frustrating thing is, you know, events with back to school events coming up really soon and pool parties and things that I cannot participate in. But I know the girls are going to want to. And so to have to miss that, that's definitely, again, back to the mom guilt thing. I have friends that are going to take my girls for several different times to go do fun things just so I can rest for a little. Again, I think I just have to remember that people want to help. They're not reaching out just to be nice. They want to help. And so, like I learned the first time, I didn't accept a lot of help. It's hard, and I acknowledge that it's hard to ask for that help. But I think once you do it, it gets a little easier. Once you've accepted it, it gets easier, and it makes a difference.
I guess kind of the last question is, you being so much more open to help now is an incredible thing. But for people that are doers or planners or used to juggling a lot and moving quickly and filling up their plate, all from a place of trying to just be supportive to those around them, those service-oriented people, for individuals like that, what, as somebody listening who wants to help a person in their life that's like that, what is the best way to go about approaching them to offer help?
Like I said, people want to help. They want to do something. They just don't always know what to do. And so it's, I think, you know, the biggest thing is going to be the meals and offering to just take the kids. And sometimes it's not a, what can I do for you? It's a, you know what, let me come get the kids on Thursday. But offering that specific advice, or I'm going to set up a meal train. I'm going to come do your dishes on Friday, you know, like practical stuff, like just even the cleaning. But I think having those specific things help as well.
Do you recommend it's better to have somebody who is not the patient, not the person that is going into the procedure, to be the person that kind of handles all of that setting up and arranging? Or do you find it's more helpful for your well-being if you are the one that sets it all up?
You know, I think it's helpful for someone else to deal with it. Like, have a close friend or a family member create the meal train and send it out and you are not responsible. There's enough on your plate as it is, and so let someone else be responsible, and the food just magically arrives at your door, right? Or there's a calendar set up for who's going to help with the kid. Have a close friend or family member set that up for with the kids' events, right? And just let it happen. If there's one less thing to worry about, the better. So if somebody really is wanting to help, then I would say a good close friend or family member to organize all that would be a huge help for sure.
Perfect. I love that. That's great tools. And I think also just reminding our listeners out there, there are so many great ways to support a person who is having a procedure, but maybe it's the best to be ways that don't involve them having to be present for that help. So Marco Polo or phone messages or text messages or emails or snail mail or flowers or cards, those are great because then, for example, you will be able to work through those and enjoy those on times when you're feeling well, but then there's not that pressure to have to show up and be there and engage. You get to just kind of focus on your recovery.
Which, as you know, and our families know, is no easy feat with chronic illness.
Is there anything else you want to share?
Well, like I learned just to be kinder to myself and give myself more grace. For us as moms to realize we always feel like we're not doing it right. We're never good enough, right? Or I should have done this instead, or I didn't do that good enough. I'm scarring my child. They're going to need therapy because of me. We're all just trying to survive. And, you know, I think when it comes to it is, in the end, they're going to remember the time that we did spend with them and the things we did do for them, not all the things that we think are terrible. There's only so much that we can control, and we don't know what's going to happen, and that's out of our control, and we'll deal with it as it comes. And I share this, I tell this to parents all the time, left and right, right? But when it came to me, I was not doing what I'd been preaching. This time I'm really trying to accept help. It is okay. People want to help. So great. This is what I need you to do. Take the girls, do something fun with them, have meals provided. And I think in the end, then it could be a quicker healing process. So I'm actually really looking forward to that.
Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. Please continue to check back as our content is ever evolving. For any recommendations or topics you would like to see covered, please feel free to send an email to podcast@wondersandworries.org.